There had been abuse in my family, but it was mostly musical in nature.
Are you ready to get your world rocked?
Ready!
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
Do it!
1, 2, 3, 4!
I apologize. My bad. I screwed up. There are so many ways to say I'm sorry. Today we look at some of the best rock songs that do that. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kot. We'll also look at some music trends of the past year, with vinyl sales going up and streaming services more popular than ever in 2016. And we're going to review the latest record from the hip-hop duo Run the Jewels. That's all coming up on Sound Opinions.
This is Sound Opinions, and later in the show, Greg, we are going to dive into some of the best songs ever that say, I'm sorry, apology masterpieces. But first, every new year, we get to dive deep into the numbers. What did we learn about 2016 music sales from, you know, compilers of these numbers like Nielsen SoundScan and BuzzAngle?
Yes, Jim. To me, the most significant number of the year is, once again, the rise of streaming. Not only are consumers streaming more music than ever, but they are actually paying for it more than ever, which I think is the good news for the music industry in an otherwise somewhat bleak year. How much of this money is actually trickling down into the wallets of the actual artists? We know that these micropayments don't add up to a whole lot, but we're starting to see significant cash flow into these streaming services like Spotify and Apple. Overall, audio stream consumption increased 82% in 2016. And even more significantly, the number of subscription streams, the percentage of those that were subscription streams, rose to 76% of the total in 2016 from 62% in 2015. That's pretty significant.
So if I can get some of my streams for free, why am I paying to subscribe?
Well, you're getting more options in the way you're able to use these streams in terms of the devices, and you're also getting the music commercial free. Mm. So there are a number of enticing options to people who actually pay for it. And, you know, when you're talking about $10 a month, you know, you talk to some people who subscribe, they say it's the best $10 they've spent that month because
They're
getting a lot of good music for a relatively low cost. In terms of the overall picture for the music industry, it's not good. We've been talking about this for years. Physical is way down. CD sales are way down. But to me, the vinyl sale increase is another phenomenon that just boggles the mind. What industry wouldn't want 10% plus growth for 11 years in a row, as vinyl sales have been?
And we applaud this every year in the new year, and sometimes twice a year. What was the number one selling album on vinyl?
Well, Jim,
in 2016,
in past years, the vinyl sale king has been typically a classic rock-oriented artist. I'm talking about an artist like Jack White or some classic artist, the Beatles or mm-hmm. Led Zeppelin. Now, we have a relatively new band, a band that actually didn't form until 2009.
Well after vinyl was like dead,
yeah,
allegedly.
Exactly. 21 Pilots with the record Blurry Face sold 68,000 vinyl units of that record.
Oh, my God.
That's unbelievable. They beat out Bowie and Amy Winehouse and Radiohead. So the new vinyl king is, believe it or not, 21 Pilots.
Wish we could turn back time to the good old days. When the mama sang us to sleep, but now we're stressed out. Wish we could turn back time to the good old days. When the mama sang us to sleep, but now we're stressed out.
That's a little bit of 21 Pilots, Greg, and I'm sorry, all of you listeners, for inflicting that on you. I'm sorry, Greg, this is something you say in the new year, right? It's a time of setting new goals for the coming year, of looking back and atoning for past sins. And music, as with everything else in life, can be a great tool to help you say, I'm sorry, mea culpa. So we thought we'd take a look at some of the best songs ever about apologizing, and you're going to start us off.
Yeah, Jim, I think a great apology song appeared on the Rolling Stones' 1968 masterpiece, Beggar's Banquet. It was a track not written by the Rolling Stones, but by a gospel artist named Reverend Robert Wilkins. He was a former blues singer turned minister. And in 1964, he laid down a version of this song that the Stones, being the blues and gospel aficionados that they were, loved, and ended up recording their own version of the song on Beggar's Banquet. You know, prodigal son, right? Famous Bible story. You know, the son takes his father's money, goes out and spends wildly, returns destitute and basically begging for his father's forgiveness. And of course, the father, in the great biblical tale, takes his son and kills the fatted calf because he's celebrating the return of the prodigal son.
Much to the hardworking brother's chagrin.
Yes, the brother doesn't like it too much.
I should note here that the Stones, not famous for saying I'm sorry.
No.
I mean, you know, this is a band, you know, right around that same time, Dead Flowers. Mick Jagger's bragging about sending dead flowers to his lover and throwing them on her grave.
This was not a band that to which apology came very easily.
No.
And they were, you know, they were, talk about fatted calf rock stars. They were already one of the biggest bands in the world at this time. But this is a very inspired version of that song, acoustic-based song with Keith Richards on guitar and Jagger doing one of his best vocals. It's Prodigal Son from the Rolling Stones in 1968 on Sound Opinions.
Well, poor boy, too far as bread, started down the road, started down the road. All he had started down the road. Going out in this world, well, God only knows. And that'll be the way to get along. Well, poor boy, all he had, family come in the land. Family come in the land. Spent all he had, family come in.
That is Prodigal Son from the Rolling Stones, a version of an apology song that I think is pretty darn great. Jim, what do you got up first for us?
Well, Greg, our working title for this episode was All Apologies. And, of course, I have to turn to Nirvana with that song. The second single from the third album, In Utero, a beautiful, beautiful tune, especially featuring that cello by Kira Shaley. You know, one of three songs from In Utero that were remixed by Scott Litt, sweetened a bit in the studio. I interviewed Cobain shortly before In Utero came out, and I had to deal with what I thought were the key lyrics in this tune. Mm-hmm. I'm married, buried. You know, how am I going to get into the Courtney Love relationship so fraught? And you know, he just kind of shined on it, and he said, look, I wrote it in 1990. Mm-hmm. You know, the song had been around for a couple of years. It wasn't intended to be about his current marital or family situation. As is usual with Cobain, it's sort of cut-and-paste lyrics. You know, all apologies, what else could I say? Everyone is gay. What else could I write? I don't have the right. I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know. But when he sings All Apologies, it resonates. And you want to believe he's sorry for something, probably for many things. It's Nirvana on Sound Opinions.
Everyone is good.
Kurt Cobain, All Apologies from 1993, Nirvana. What a song. Greg, you got another I'm Sorry tune?
Yes, next up for me, Jim, is Miss Jackson by Outkast from their 2000 album, Stankonia. One of the most famous apology songs out there. I could not make a list without including it. I think it's one of Andre 3000's greatest contributions to Outkast albums. And as apology songs go, it is unique. Because usually you see an ex-lover apologizing to another ex-lover directly. But in this case, the narrator in the song is apologizing to the ex-lover's mother.
Which has got to be a harder sell.
Oh, my God. I always thought, you know, when you're going out with somebody, it's a much tougher relationship with the parents of that person than it is with the person you're actually dating. And apologizing or, you know, having to go to them and apologize for something would be like one of the most traumatizing feelings in the world. So here's the narrator in Miss Jackson going to the mother of his ex-lover, not only his ex-lover, but the mother of his child. So he's saying, basically, I'm sorry that we broke up. I'm for real. I'm a good person. I'm going to stand by your daughter, but not only that, I'm going to stand by your by the child that we had together, even though we're no longer together. I have not heard a song in popular music, certainly not a top 40 hit the way this was, top 10 hit, addressing that particular circumstance. And I think it's done beautifully by Andre 3000.
He's pretty convincing.
He absolutely is. I'd buy it. Buy it. So Miss Jackson from Outkast on Sound Opinions.
Yeah, go like this. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson.
Like me. She's doing things like having the boys come from her neighborhood to the studio trying to fight me. She need to get a piece of American pie and take her bite out. That's my house. I disconnect the cable and turn the lights out. And let her know her grandchild is a baby and not a paycheck. Private school, daycare, dish, medical bills, I pay that. I love your mom and everything. See, I ain't the only one who lay down. She wanna rip you up and start a custody war. My lawyer stay that. She never got a chance to hear my side of the story. We was divided. She had fish fries and cookouts for my child's birthday. I ain't invited. Despite it, I show her the utmost respect when I fall through. All you do is defend that lady when I call you.
I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times.
Me and your daughter got a special thing going on. You say it's puppy love. We say it's full grown.
If I'm lying, fine. The quickest muzzle, throw it on my mouth and I'll decline. King meets queen, then the puppy love thing. Together dream about that crib with the Goodyear swing. On the oak tree, I hope we feel like this forever. Forever, forever, ever, forever, ever. Forever never seems that long until you're grown. And notice that the day-by-day ruler can't be too wrong. Miss Jackson, my intentions were good. I wish I could become a magician to abracadabra all the sadder. Thoughts of me, thoughts of she, thoughts of he. Asking what happened to the feeling that her and me had. I pray so much about it, need some knee pads. It happened for a reason, one can't be mad. So know this, know that everything's cool. And yes, I will be present on the first day of school and graduation.
I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am for real. Never meant to make your daughter cry. I apologize a trillion times. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Ooh, I am.
Miss Jackson from Outkast, one of my favorite apology songs.
Greg, we should apologize for hogging this show. Why don't we turn to our listeners and hear some recommendations?
Hey, my name is George. I'm calling from Winter Park, Florida. And my pick for an apology song is Marie by Randy Newman. I immediately thought of Randy Newman because many of his songs are about regret. But this one is most specifically about apology. And interestingly, it doesn't say I'm sorry or I apologize anywhere in the lyric. But it's woven throughout the song.
But I've got to be. I never could tell you. I saw you, and I always will love you, Marie.
You know, it's on the album Good Old Boys, which was kind of written from the take of a Southern gentleman. I read up a little bit about it, and it's interesting, in the song, while he's apologizing to Marie, he does so by just telling her how wonderful she is over and over, and just telling her also, I'm flawed. I'm just a flawed man.
Your river, your rainbow. Sometimes I'm crazy, but I guess you know. I'm weak and I'm lazy.
It's an apology in context, but not in form.
When you're in trouble, I turn away.
After a break, more songs of apology. And later in the show, we'll review the latest from hip-hop duo Run the Jewels. That's all coming up on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.
Welcome back to Sound Opinions. I'm Jim DeRogatis. I'm here with Greg Kot, and we are talking about songs that say, I'm sorry. We've got more picks from our listeners coming up. But first, Greg, I have another pick myself. I'm Sorry. That's the name of the song. 1960 phenomenal hit by Brenda Lee. We forget about this, right? Brenda Lee was 15 years old when she recorded that song. And there was big controversy by the record label. Can a 15-year-old young woman, a girl, put out a song as brilliant as it was, you know, and her performance is perfect, and the song written by Dub Allbritton and Ronnie Self is a great song. But, you know, who's going to buy that she's apologizing to a lover, you know, and she's 15? Nevertheless, came out, was a tremendous top 10 hit, a prime example of the then burgeoning country-politan sound, you know, strings and choruses and more produced, slicker Nashville sound. But her vocal, I think, is what really sells it. I'm not sure we've ever played Brenda Lee on this show, and she's got some great, great stuff. Beyond
Absolutely.
The hits that you know, I apologize for not giving Brenda Lee her due. Here she is now, I'm Sorry, on Sound Opinions.
I'm sorry, so sorry, that I was such a fool. I didn't know love could be so cruel. Oh, 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 oh yes, you tell me. Apart.
sorry.
So sorry.
So sorry. Please accept my apology. But love is blind, and I was too blind to see.
That is Brenda Lee with the 1960 hit I'm Sorry. And Greg, it was a tough call. I was tempted to play a song by Ben Vaughn, New Jersey singer-songwriter. Mm-hmm. Very, very witty, funny guy. He has a tune called I'm Sorry, But So Is Brenda Lee. But, we had to go to the Queen herself.
Good call, Jim. And now let's hear from some more of our listeners about their favorite apology songs.
Hi, this is Mitch Collin from New York. My pick for an apology song is The Who's A Quick One While He's Away. It's a mini opera that tells the story of a woman who's been left home waiting indefinitely for her man to come home, and after a year she's seduced by an engine driver. They wind up having an affair, and when her man finally comes home, she does confess everything, but there's no breakup or any revenge or anything like that. They're happily reunited, and all is forgiven.
I missed you, and I must admit, I kissed a few, and once did sit on either the engine driver's lap.
You can get a copy of either the Rolling Stones Rock and Roll Circus or The Kids Are All Right. They're actually different cuts of the same performance, but I prefer the one on Rock and Roll Circus because you get a bit more of Keith in there, and he's amazing to watch. You see the sawdust flying off the kit. He's arcing backwards while twirling his sticks. It's very intense and very fun, and it really builds a lot of goodwill to the very end when they start chanting, "You Are Forgiven." And the very last line of the live version is, "You're all forgiven." And when you think about it, it's a nice line because everyone's done their part to wrong someone else. So everybody receives the same absolution. The slate is clean all around.
You're all forgiven.
I'm sorry, Mitch. I just can't go there with you. That is The Who at their most overblown. I've never liked that song, Greg.
Well, I think the performance is pretty spectacular, especially the one, as he points out, in Rock and Roll Circus, blows away the Rolling Stones, who hosted the Rock and Roll Circus.
Yeah, but drums are not a lead instrument. We'll have our Keith Moon fight another time. We got another caller on the line.
This is John from Austin, Texas. My pick for apology song was Blake Mills' Don't Tell Your Friends About Me. Blake Mills is a studio musician. I think he started out with a band called Dawes and then kind of went off on his own. Really phenomenal guitar player, very understated. It's a song with just really plain spoken lyrics. They come off very melodic still. They don't sound kind of forced, but just a lot of neat turns of phrase. Just the sentiment about, asking your significant other to not talk about the relationship outside of it, just kind of worrying that you come off as a jerk. The entire bridge is just really a refrain of expletives, just saying sorry over and over again, and he never edited it down for radio.
Oh, John, I regret that we can't play the unedited version, but we'd be apologizing all the way to the unemployment office. But we want to hear from you as well at home. Give us a call on our hotline, 888-859-1800, or connect with us on Facebook or Twitter. Greg, you're up next. Another apology song.
Jim, yes, indeed. Bonnie Raitt put out a great record in 2016 called Digging Deep. She's been around for a long time, but this is one of the strongest albums of her career. And the perspective that the years bring very much in evidence on many of these songs, especially the perspective she's bringing to a broken relationship. I think the initial feeling after a bad breakup, a long-term relationship breaks up, there's a certain amount of bitterness and anger involved, and then maybe some mourning, and then you move on. Mm-hmm. But this song is written from the perspective of a few years beyond a relationship, and she's reflecting back on it and saying, you know what, there was a lot of good in that relationship, and I wish we'd worked a little harder to make it work. So she's saying basically, I'm sorry for the ones we couldn't be, and I think that's a really powerful sentiment about a relationship that, you know, it takes two to make a relationship work, and it is work in some ways. It's not an easy thing to build a relationship. And I think it's beautifully expressed in this apology song, The Ones We Couldn't Be, from Bonnie Raitt on Sound Opinions.
It's hard to say now who left first. Used to seem so clear. You and I were tangled from the start. Somehow the scales just fell away, and I'm left standing here, blown open in the hole that was my part. I wrap the dark around me, there's no solace here tonight. Just wishing and regret for company. My glass is raised for all the ways we tried to get it right. And I'm sorry for the ones we couldn't be. I'm so sorry for the ones we couldn't be. Looking through these photographs, searching for a clue. How you and I got tangled from the start. Not even blood could forge a bond enough to get us through. Or stem the tides that pulled us far apart. Sorry for the ways I couldn't give you what you needed. For all the ways I strung us both along. Say it goes both ways, and I suppose I could concede it. Seems to matter more now that you're gone.
Bonnie Raitt with a rare piano-led ballad on that song. She's normally noted for her slide guitar playing, but she moves over to piano for that song, The Ones We Couldn't Be.
I was struck by how eloquent you were there and how difficult it is to make a relationship work. Were you thinking of any two people in particular?
I've been in one for several decades, and you got to work at it, absolutely.
All right. It strikes me as I prepare to tee up REM South Central Rain that this is the second apology song after Nirvana's All Apologies, where the lyrics make no sense whatsoever. You know, this is Michael Stipe on the band's second album, 1984, Reckoning, when he is still in mumble mode, okay? And I don't think any of the other lyrics besides the I'm sorry, right, which jumps out, ever stuck with me. But boy, that chorus of I'm sorry is killer. Stipe, like Cobain, was a cut-and-paste sort of impressionistic stream-of-consciousness lyricist. And boy, you know, every time I go back to those early REM records, I treated myself. We were talking earlier about numbers and vinyl sales being up. Every year around Christmas, I get rid of a bunch of the junk that I got duplicates of, and I treat myself to a dozen vinyl albums. And I found REM live at the Capitol Theater in Passaic, New Jersey, in the spring of 84, shortly before the release of Reckoning, and I was at that show, and I wanted to see if this vinyl recording was as good as I remembered. It was better. Man, when REM was good, REM was the best band in the world. Then they became very, very bad. But I'm sorry if I'm hurting your feelings by saying that, but man, this is a great song. South Central Rain, a.k.a. parentheses, I'm Sorry, by REM.
Never called. I waited for your calls. Rivers of suggestion were driving me away. The trees were bent. The
South Central Rain from R.E.M., Jim DeRogatis's pick for a great apology song. Before we get to our final picks, Jim, let's hear from one more caller.
I'm Paul, and I'm calling from St. Paul, Minnesota. But my song choice was Beautiful by Wussy.
I'm not the monster that I once was. 20 years ago, I was more beautiful than I am today.
I think it's a great apology song for just those lyrics that hit and literally brought tears to my eyes. I'm not the monster I once was. 20 years ago, I was more beautiful than I am today. Just that plea for forgiveness for the damage that I caused in my life, and that I have improved and I'm better. And at the same time, that juxtaposition of our fading beauty, it strikes me deep down inside, like very few songs do.
If the bruises and the scars reflect the people that we are, I guess that you could say that we're beyond it.
The fire's flickered out, but the damage and the doubt made me tend to leave my sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind.
I don't know that I've used it to say I'm sorry to somebody, but when I hear the song, I think of the people in my life that I have hurt and that I have apologized to. And I think part of that is saying that I acknowledge it and that I'm getting better.
Well, I got to agree with Paul there, Jim, that that is a beautiful song called Beautiful. And from that Attica album in 2014, was one of my top five albums of that year. Fantastic group. And that I think that was a high point of their career. And again, one of those perspective songs, looking back on your life. I think we get more apologetic in some ways the older we get. We realize, we screwed up a few times along the way.
Yeah, we've got more sins to atone for older we get. Soul music, Greg, is lousy with apology songs, and I think I've got the best. I think I've got the very best here. 1967, The Temptations with A Lot of Soul, fifth studio album from The Temptations, those great Motown years. It's shortly before their psychedelic soul period. They're upping the guitar lines and the brass, but this song, Sorry is a Sorry Word. What a song. Because, let's face it, sometimes I'm sorry, just don't cut it. Mm. That's not good enough. there are mistakes and you can apologize and you can be forgiven. And then there are some things that are really hard to forgive, like being the one who heard your cries, who reached out and dried your eyes, who found you and wrapped all my love around you. And now this woman in the Temptations' lives is walking away. And they're saying, I'm sorry, but sorry is a sorry word after all I've done for you. I'm not taking your apology. No thanks. You take it with you if you're going out that door. That's how I hear it anyway. Temptations on Sound Opinions. Sorry is a sorry word by the Temptations from 1967. Greg, I know where you're going next, our last apology song of this episode. And man, I was so bummed that I hadn't thought of it first, that you claimed it first. I'm sorry, but I'm bummed.
Well, a lot of great apology songs out there. And speaking of the Temptations, one of my favorite groups of all time, man, they wrote some great apology songs as well as Sorry is a Sorry Word, which is a great pick.
Yeah.
Ain't Too Proud to Beg, man. That's when you're down in the dumps and you're trying everything you can to get back that girl. You
just
know?
Do a Temptations apology show.
Now, the reason I apologize by Husker Du, I think, rang the bell for both of us. And I'm pretty sure you agree with me on this. But,
yeah.
You mentioned REM as one of the great groups of all time. But I think of the 80s bands, there was none better than Husker Du. I mean, this was just an incredible band.
I got the tattoo right here to prove it.
Every one of their records is a masterpiece. And I will say the number one record from that era, New Day Rising, 1985. Mm-hmm. That to me is the pinnacle from which I Apologize is taken. Bob Mould, Bob is not a guy, I think he was at a stage in his life where apologizing was not an easy thing to do. He came across as this angry man on stage.
He was scary.
He wore the emotions on his sleeve, but there was a lot of anger and hurt in his vocals. And if you didn't hear it in his voice, you certainly heard it in his guitar playing. And that's the first tip-off about I Apologize. Those are the words you hear in the song, but that guitar is saying, I ain't apologizing.
That
sounds like three guitar players just ready to just bowl you over, overwhelm you. There's this tsunami of sound coming at you. And then you listen a little closer to what Bob is talking about in this song. Yes, he's apologizing. And then he turns around and goes, now it's your turn to apologize, And
or else he's going to hit you with that flying V.
That guitar is going to come down on your head. And there's a stalemate in this song. So it ends in a really ugly place. Even though it's an apology song, it doesn't reach its intended goal. Apology is supposed to be free of all strings. Bob's attaching a few strings here to this song. So that's what makes it fascinating to me. I Apologize from Husker Du on Sound Opinions.
All these crazy mixed up lies that floating all around, making me
I apologize from Husker Du on Sound Opinions, my final apology song of our segment, Jim.
No, you can't follow that. You've got to have a clean slate after that one, Greg. But if you at home still have a song, the perfect song that says I'm sorry, leave us a message on our hotline, 888-859-1800. Coming up, we'll review the third album from Run the Jewels. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.
About what I think's going on. I got away with this. They might drag me away for this. Put me in a cage for this. I might pay for this. I just say what I want like I'm made for this. But I'm afraid some days I might be wrong. Maybe that's why me and Mike get along.
Welcome back to Sound Opinions. That is a little bit of a report to the shareholders / Kill Your Masters, the final track of 14 on the third studio album from Run the Jewels, aptly titled Run the Jewels 3. Who are Run the Jewels, Greg? Jamie Milline, a.k.a. LP, has been a huge presence on the hip-hop scene, at least in the underground, since 1993, when he emerged in Brooklyn as part of Company Flow, went on to form the Def Jux, Definitive Jux label, putting out really influential records like Cannibal Ox and ASAP Rock. 2012, he collaborates with a rapper from Atlanta, Michael Render, better known as Killer Mike. You played something from Stankonia earlier. Killer Mike had made his debut auspiciously in 2000 on Stankonia by Outkast. He then signs to T.I.'s label, Grand Hustle, makes rap music, R.A.P. music, in 2012 with LP producing. Those two really hit it off. It's a deep connection. They're really like brothers. They riff off of each other, or a married couple that's been married like 45 years, right? We had them on the show, and it was wonderful to see them trading jokes and interacting. They've also been magical in the studio. The first record they worked on as Run the Jewels was in 2013. They followed with Run the Jewels 2 in 2014. Some would say this new album, Run the Jewels 3, is actually their fourth album, because in 2015, they put out a remix record called Meow the Jewels with Lil Bub meowing over their grooves. Anyway, what have they given us this time? Let's play a track. We'll come back and give our opinions. This is Thieves! Exclamation point. Screamed the Ghost by Run the Jewels on Sound Opinions.
He just leaving, man. He's screaming, Jesus.
He had the high soul.
People yelling, screaming at police.
Rise tonight.
Burning, looting, taking, thieving.
Fire and light.
Feel the air and most don't know the reason. But they know his problems and feel his pain. We just pray off in they deadly game.
It'll never change.
Too much profit in and it stay the same. You can burn their system and start a game.
Late night, same night, God, let me sleep. Please, I'm begging you.
Don't be afraid.
Daylight might never break right again once they get it to.
You'll never be alone again.
This house is haunted by pain, transposing the revenue.
The murdered all stay.
That thing when your mind says run, but your heart isn't letting you.
Yeah, we got a army now.
You strike them down, they still live inside hearts. Hearts carry them.
The weapon is our memory.
Some get to count sheep, some gotta count kids that they bury in.
I don't wanna scare nobody.
Fear's been long for so long, the rage feel like therapy.
We're gonna make them remember me.
Nobody gets no more sleep till we teach them remembering.
That is Thieves, Screamed the Ghost, from the new Run the Jewels album, inventively titled Run the Jewels 3. The album titles may sound alike, but this group keeps upping the ante with each album. You know, the first one seemed like kind of a lark. You know, they were just blown off a little steam. But with each album, the intensity has picked up until we get what I think is their finest album yet. Killer Mike and LP, they're contemporary artists, clearly. They're still young guys. Or, you know, early 40s isn't particularly old by most standards, although hip-hop, they're elder statesmen.
In hip-hop, they're old men, yeah.
But they're looking back to the 80s core of, you know, rhymes, rhythm, rawness. There's a real raw approach to their music. And, you know, when you go back to the early days of hip-hop, what was all that boasting about? Some people from the outside are looking at it and they don't get it. What we're talking about here is people who are on the outside projecting identity, their own identity, against impossible odds. And what I think Run the Jewels are doing on their records is taking that sense of the underdog against those impossible odds and projecting it out to a wider community. You know, if not now, when? You know, Killer Mike has been very involved in the last couple of political campaigns. You know, he was an outspoken advocate for Bernie Sanders, for example, and has been actually on CNN and other serious news programs talking about the problems in America, you know, the racial issues.
Very eloquently.
Yeah, very well done. You know, it's written editorials. LP on his own albums is talking about these dystopian scenarios in our society. And now they're combining forces here. One thing that needs to be said first is the two of these MCs are incredibly skilled. Mm-hmm. I think they're one of the top duos in hip-hop history already. And the combination of them provides a sort of a dizzying momentum to this music. But secondly, what they're talking about is we can rise above this. You know, LP says, I'm dirt, I can't be crushed. I'm mm-hmm. already yeah. the lowest of the low. You cannot keep me down. And Killer Mike, you know, in response, give up. I did the opposite. We're not giving up.
Garvey, mine, Tyson punch. This is bad news. So feel me, follow me. Devil then got on top of me. Bad times got a monopoly. Give up, I did the opposite. Pitch Perfect did it properly. Only killed by his property.
This is a call to arms, but it is a revolution in the head. It's of the mind, of a mindset that they're talking about. They're not talking about going out and kill people. They're talking about arm your intellect for the fight that's still coming ahead. It's a great record, buy it record all the way for me.
It's an absolute buy it record, Greg. We're recording the day after President Obama's farewell speech. There's a line that Mike delivers in Thursday in the Danger Room: you defeat the devil when you hold on to hope. And that's something that the president could have said last mm-hmm. night.
That's the antidote. You defeat the devil when you hold on to hope. Getting folk, life is beautiful, and we ain't got to die for the mother men. And I refuse to kill another human being in the name of a government. Cause I don't study war no more. I don't hate the poor no more.
You know, there's a literary bent to LP, and there's this sort of preacher slash comic mm-hmm. Sort of attitude that Killer Mike has. It's a great team, but let's not slight the music here. You know, the production is incredibly inventive, a real dense sound collage that's all over the map. It took me a good half dozen listens before I even began to get a handle on it. You know, it's full of hooks, but it's challenging you at the same time. This is quite simply one of the most important duos in hip-hop today. So an enthusiastic double buy it. What do we have on the show next week?
Next week, Jim, we have an in-studio performance and interview with the very cinematically oriented indie rock band Album Leaf.
Greg, as always, we have some thank yous to say on the way out. Sound Opinions is produced by Brendan Banasek, Evan Chung, and Alex Claiborne, and the newest addition to our team, Ayanna Contreras. On Sound Opinions, everyone's a critic. So now it's time to hear what you have to say.
Hello.
Sorry to bother you. Don't hang up. Please let me talk to you.
New messages.
Hi, my name is Paul. I'm calling from outside Philadelphia. I just want to thank you for the long interview with Esperanza Spalding. It is so wonderful to hear a really brilliant person who just is able to tell it so clear and clean and plays so beautifully. That little blues improvisation was just gorgeous. It's just so nice to hear the straight, natural thing, especially in this world of pure distortions that we're hearing a lot of these days. So once again, thank you very much to you all and to her for just really telling it like it is, what it really is to be a human being. Thank you very much.
Judas, you know the lonesome road, don't you?
My name is Andrea Verzi from Magna, Utah, and I just finished listening to that amazing interview with Esperanza. And not only am I entranced by her musical talents and voice, but her perspective on life and not waiting for anyone else to tell you that you're creative enough to speak your mind and express yourself. Absolutely beautiful, a wonderful, insightful woman. Thank you again.
I'm Kathy Taibbi. I'm responding to the David Bowie episode I just heard, and I asked our opinion of Black Star. Yes, my God, it is one of the breakthrough albums. It was incredible. I was not actually a huge Bowie fan, although I always admired the man until Black Star came out. This thing is like he's bearing his soul to us. He's letting it all hang loose. He's giving us everything. What a brave man to face his impending death and craft an entire album around it. And he's not feeling sorry for himself. It's amazing he could be creative and give us this gift. And no, it cannot be divorced from his death. It's part of his saga, and he allowed us to experience it with him and gave us this to remember him by and to inspire us. So I think it is one of the greatest albums of 2016. Thank you.
Look up here, I'm in heaven. I've got scars that can't be seen. I've got drama, can't be stolen. Everybody knows me now.
My name is Jane Wilcoxon. I live in Oswego, Illinois. I also have a studio and gallery in Mineral Point, Wisconsin. I don't remember a time when David Bowie was not in my life. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, as a young art student, David Bowie did what you said he did on your show. He had a way of distilling the counterculture of the time so that we could really see ourselves and what was happening and the changes we were making in our world. And as art students, he kind of gave us permission to go all out and do our thing. Thank you for your show. I very much enjoy listening to it. It gives me a lot of food for thought. Bye-bye.
I'm so high, it makes my brain whirl. Drop my cell phone down below.
No more messages.
To give us your opinions on Sound Opinions, call our hotline, 888-859-1800. We'll be back next week with more Sound Opinions, produced by WBEZ Chicago and distributed by PRX.